rose to a shout. He had the gall to charge 10 cents for you. Said once that you'd clumb down from the wagon, you was considered a pedestrian. Sam's eyes were on the forested landscape ahead. In all my born days, I never did meet an honest ferryman. He was quiet for a spell, then seemed to make up his mind about something. Finally, he said, "You're right, Logan. You should have gunned him." Somewhat mollified that Shaver had agreed with him, the marshal said, "Maybe on the way back, I'll put a bullet in his greedy hide and then we'll be on our way." "Crackerjack plan, Logan. I'll swear in a stack of Bibles that he drawed down on you to make it look good for Judge Parker-like." The old man smiled. "I never did cotton to a ferryman with a bald head and a red beard anyhow. Serve him right for looking like that, I say." To further justify his homicidal intent, Kane said, "When we go back the way we come, I know he'll charge us 60 cents for the convicts. He'll say them boys are pedestrians." "Well, then you should gun him for sure, Logan." Kane was silent for a few moments, then said, "Of course I could refuse to pay. Tell him send your bill to the judge and be damned to you." "You could do that very thing, Logan. Save a bullet that-a-way." "I reckon it's something a man should study on for a spell, Sam. I mean, which way to go for the better?" "I reckon it is. But remember, it's no big thing to gun a robbing ferryman." "Well, I never shot one of them before," Kane said, turning the thought over in his mind. "There's always a first time for everything, Logan. But if it does come down to a killing, just don't let it upset you none." Kane glanced at the sky, an upturned ceramic bowl of pale blue, ribboned with streamers of scarlet and jade. The moon was already rising, transparent, hovering above the surrounding treetops like a white moth. "Coming up on dark, Sam," he said. "Best we find a place to camp." "I've been smelling water for the last 2 miles," the old man said. "We must be coming up on a creek." The trail was a winding wagon and cattle path, cut through thick forests of pine and hardwood, mostly crowded stands of elm, oak, dogwood, and ash. Among the tree trunks grew cacti, ferns, and wild orchids that nodded their bonneted heads in a gusting wind. The untouched timber around them had a serenity and permanence that reminded Kane of the columns of an old Spanish cathedral he'd once seen down in the Mexico Durango country. That he'd splattered the church's ancient oak doors with the blood and brains of the bank robber Pancho Ramos had done nothing to spoil his appreciation of the holy place, then or since. Now, among the trees, he experienced the same relaxed inner peace he'd felt in the ancient cathedral. Only tonight, the stars would substitute for candles, and the smell of orchids for the blue drift of incense. He had postponed his decision on the crooked ferryman until later, and he wouldn't have to deal with the 6 dangerous convicts he had to escort back to Fort Smith until tomorrow. For the present, he was looking forward to coffee, crisp-fried salt pork, skillet bread, and his blankets. As good as he felt, he dared to hope that just maybe the dream wouldn't come tonight. His mouth tightened under his mustache. Maybe tonight it would leave him alone. They would leave him alone. "Marsh up ahead, Marshal," Sam said. He was leaning forward in his seat, his eyes searching into the shadowed distance. "Maybe you should ride on ahead and take a look-see." Kane kneed his sorrel into a trot and rode up on the wash. Both banks were broken down by the passage of wagons and cattle, and only a trickle of water ran over the sandy bottom. He swung to his right and followed the stream into the trees. After a few yards, the banks narrowed to less than 2 feet, but here the water ran clear and several inches deep. The stream gradually arced to the north, through a clearing about 1/2 acre in extent, roofed by a leafy overhang of elm and post oak. There was grass enough for the pair of mules and his horse, dry firewood aplenty, and space to park the big prison wagon. It would do. Kane rode back to the road, waved Sam forward, then returned to the clearing and swung out of the saddle. He was a tall, lanky man who moved with an easy, loose-limbed grace. A blue colt hung